ice cream truck every day.
This is Shelley. I have a question. With that being said, yeah. Keith, if they had a town event, would you then not, would that kind of be like a weather delay, a weather thing? You wouldn't have to show up since they've got all rights to it, or just for the duration of whatever their event is? Either way, this doesn't seem good as a location for us to prosper.
I'm just trying to find that part of the clause.
It will have exclusive exception of any park or food vendor. We should provide its own food vendors.
I would say that during that time, you probably would have to seek guidance as to whether you would just take that day off, or if you felt that would be applicable, you know, that you may still potentially have an opportunity to profit. I think they would probably most likely allow you to make that decision if the event was big enough, or if the event took up majority of the day. They probably would allow you to close for that day. You know, if it was
The way it sounds, it's town-oriented anyway. The use of the actual facility is town-oriented. So if they trumped anything on those particular days, that day might just be a wash.
Yeah, it says the concessionaire will have exclusive rights to sell during, the season, Memorial Day through Labor Day, with the exception of any Parks and Recs commission-approved event. And again, it says road race, townwide picnic, et cetera. During such an event, the commission may provide its own food vendors. So it doesn't say whether you would be able to be open or not, but they would, bring people in to compete with you. The only way I would recommend that we waive it, especially for this, again, with the upcoming season and not having the financial report, nor knowing what the foot traffic is going to be for a COVID summer. I don't think we can accept it today. The only thing I would say is if you wanted to pursue it further, maybe we look at the promote and transfer list to see if there's any operator willing to even take it before we move forward. So my recommendation would be to waive it, unless the committee feels what I just said. If you want to, dig a little further and see if we have an operator that's willing to take it. If we have no operator, then we can't put ourselves in a position of the program to accept something without, Memorial Day, again, I know it's a couple months away, but it's going to be here, and we got to get our ducks in a row if that's the case. So, what do you think, committee? Anyone want to make a motion for, against, or to pursue, promote, and transfer? I'll make a motion that we waive the Lake Mohegan Fairfield location.
I shall second it.
There's been a motion made and seconded. Any further discussion by the committee? All those committee members in favor of waiving this location? I don't know if there's any vending, but I'll say we retain our rights to vending. If there's any vending machines, say aye.
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 Any committee members opposed? Say no. Any abstentions? And the motion carries.
Who made that motion?
I did, Keith Haley.
Thanks.
Shelley McDermott on the second.
Thanks.
Okay. All right, let's go into the third item on the agenda. Connecticut Cares Small Business Grant Fund Distribution. I think this was an important topic to talk about, because I know operators are now starting to receive these benefits in regards to, offsetting assistance to the resumption of their business. I wanted to bring this to the committee because I had questioned whether, how far as a program do we acknowledge from operators them receiving benefit of this grant? What we do know is when you receive a loan, right, whenever you take out a loan, and I'm just speaking from a business report standpoint,
Should you acknowledge it on your business report? Should you not acknowledge it on your business report? Well, I think it comes down to the other half of the acknowledgement. And what I mean by that is if you take out a $10,000 loan and you choose to acknowledge the payback on your business reports, then ultimately it's a wash. However, in this case here, when we're talking about a grant, and this is obviously a situation in which historically, I believe, within the program has been the first time we've started getting these type of grant opportunity assistance that plays some direct effects into our business operations. How do we want to acknowledge this? Should we acknowledge this? And the effects of acknowledging and not acknowledging it as part of our business. So to kind of give you an example of to how I'm doing this and the concern that I have is just this, right? So let's just say, example, an operation's set to resume next week. And you're buying all of your merchandise with this $5,000 grant money. So you buy that $5,000 worth of grant money. You use the $5,000 grant money into the merchandise, okay? But boom, you take the $5,000, you put it in your merchandise, on this week's business report, what have you. And at the end of your business report, it's going to show naturally a negative, right? Because you don't have anything offsetting the $5,000 expense. What does that do overall as to your figures? To me, I believe it is a false negative, right? So you're pumping in money that you may have not have acknowledged initially into your business report, and in turn, the flip side of that appears that you have a $5,000 negative because you took these $5,000 that you received, but you didn't acknowledge it on your business report as profit or you know other income, I should say. I don't want to use the word profit. Ultimately giving your report an offset of $5,000 at any point. So my question to you all, and this is why I come to the committee, is do you feel, which I believe should be the proper placement, because I did go on the IRS website as well to verify grant money should be factored on your annual taxes, and it says it does, in specific the Connecticut CARES grant. This $5,000 should be acknowledged, ultimately offsetting your business report. So if you acknowledge the $5,000 on your business report as other income, you expend $5,000 in product merchandise, and I'm just using these round numbers in let's say the week before, your profit would be at zero. So it wouldn't put you in that false negative period. So what do you all feel in regards to that? Because, you know, at the end of the day, you guys all have your own separate tax, agents and so forth that do your annual taxes. But I'm more concerned on a program standpoint as to how we acknowledge these funds and at to what level of acknowledgement, because I believe if we don't factor this in from a business report standpoint, it's going to skew those operators who received the $5,000 who may not have acknowledged it on their business report, their profitability by $5,000 at the end of the federal fiscal year for reporting. So, Chairman, do you have any insight on that?
Well, it's the grant is, and this is just my own interpretation of this, the grant money isn't given to an individual per se, but to a business. For instance, you know, the account I gave them was my business account for that money to get deposited into, not, you know, Keith Haley's personal checking account. So it's a business grant. So I would assume it being a business grant, you have to log that under your business heading, not your personal heading. So it's not like I got $5,000 in my back pocket. The 450 Grill, as I call my place, has the $5,000. So that's got to be, I would assume that's got to be reported somewhere, because you got to be taxed on them at some point.
This is Shelley. I agree, because they had stipulations on how you could even use the money. So it was given to you because you applied for it, and we applied for it to help us with our business things. I think the other income line in the report may actually be right if I'm wrong or anything, but it was given to us based on the business. That's just where it was. It's not like we report the unemployment, which comes in under kind of like personal kind of thing.
Correct.
No. This is business related. It should totally be reported.
Okay. And I agree. I definitely agree. Yep.
I'd just like to say, you know, and also, you can go back. So I did not receive the money, but if you received the $5,000 and like, well, I'm not making any money, so it's going to show I made $5,000, you didn't. No, you go back and you put the $5,000 on your last week that you ran and expend it out that way. That's what I did with money. My lost power and ended up losing stuff. So I went back and expensed it out on my last week of business so that then I'm not showing like, hey, I got, you know, $1,000 that I technically had already spent. Like, we've already spent the $5,000 for the business. So you can go back and amend your business reports, since our taxes haven't been filed yet. Amend your business report to put that $5,000 towards then, because I believe, if I understood it correctly, that the $5,000, even though you may receive the check in January, that it was allocated for you in December so that it would go on your 2020 taxes.
Oh, that part I'm not sure. I thought it was once they divvy. That may be a tax relatable question for an accountant. I'm not sure about that, because just like, it's kind of like when I spoke to Tyrell about the very few, but well, you know, needed the commissions. He processed it in 2020, but I didn't receive it till 2021. So that was also going to be another question on the caveat side at the end of the call. Do we now, we usually do put it in the week that we got it. So I'm thinking the week that you received is the week that you're supposed to.
Actually, well, this is a different situation, but me personally, what I do, when, if I've received, like, my commissions for the last quarter, I have not entered. Like, I submitted my business report because it was due, but Nick knows I'm going to send him an amended return once I receive my commissions, because that will change the things. But I received, even though I don't get that check until January, to me, that money was money I earned in December, November and October, so therefore it should be put in that year. Do you see what I'm
Well,
saying?
That's true too. So I guess that's on that end. I do it that way, the way I described it. I put it in when I received it, but I understand your rationale because it was due for those months. So I guess it may not be the same thing.
And it's the end of the year, so it means yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Well, from what I understood, and I could be wrong on for people that are like, well, I don't want to spend $5,000 on my business that I'm not even running, and then have this $5,000. And nothing to spend out because you're not spending money on anything, that you can, like I said, go back and amend your last. That's what I did, because if I understand correctly, that the money is allocated, was allocated for 2020, just because you didn't receive the check until 2021, it was still allocated in 2020, so that you could go back and amend your report to show the money coming in and the money going out, so that you're not showing
the
money
coming
in.
That might be fine either way. I don't. I log it when I get the check. So I log mine in my January, because that's when I got the money, even though it was earmarked for the third quarter. That said,
right,
the fourth quarter check's not going to come in until well after I file my taxes. So
right,
as long as you log it, I believe you're covered. You know, whether you log it for 2020 or log it 2021. As long as it's logged and you're paying taxes on it and doing the right thing through the business, I think it could go either way, you know. That's number one. Number two is more of a question, a general question. I don't know if anyone has the answer, but that grant money began March 1st of 2020. So some of us, myself at least, I was open for 3 weeks, and they said you could use it for payroll. So can we use that $5,000 as reimbursement, kind of like what you're saying, Brandy? Okay, well, I got this $5,000,
mm-hmm,
and I, you know, earmark it towards. Okay, I'm. That's what I think too. I'm just trying to talk out loud because, you know, although, so it's not like I'm going to take that $5,000 now and spend it on something. If I earmark it towards payroll, which that's, you know, obviously one of the things you can use it for, you know, it's more of a reimbursement than it is I'm going to spend it out. But if that were the case, then Brandy might be right. I should log in on last year's business report if I'm reimbursing myself for expenses from last year.
So So that is, in that case, it would vary for operator, operator. The only thing is, we do, I think, are we in the consensus that we are supposed to report it? I think that's what Tyrell's main question was.
True, good point.
Don, I think individual operator, how you allocated the money is you, how you allocate, like myself. I don't have employees, so that wouldn't refer to myself.
Right.
Right.
I think, yeah, I believe for that is what I'm trying to establish is ultimately, however you choose to identify that, that's perfectly fine. I just want to, you know, receive an answer as to are we all in a general consensus that it should be acknowledged and not, you know, considered, well, this, you know, this money wasn't anything, in, you know, this money was received indirectly from my business, so therefore I don't feel the need to have to acknowledge these funds. I'm of the opinion that you should acknowledge them, and regardless if it's, you know, an amendment to your previous business or if you're going to use it going forward, whatever, you know, the stipulations are within the CARES agreement, that's fine with me. I just want to know if, you know, I just want to be sure that we're receiving acknowledgement.
Yeah, it's business revenue as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
And that's how I have another question and statement kind of thing. Like, I was told that the check that we received last year, the $1,211 vacation pay, I don't know if everybody knows that you are supposed to claim that on your business report. That's what I was told and informed and did, is you have to claim that $1,211 check as income.
Yeah, I did
correct.
That. Yeah, I put it in
like a commission check.
Everybody knows that and that, that's out there because I did not know that until a few weeks ago when I questioned it. So I want to make sure everybody is on that same page as well.
I have a question then on the side of a sidebar or caveat to whatever we were just discussing. For hypothetical reasons, I'm just throwing this out there. There are a lot of us that aren't online right now. So hypothetically, if someone applied for that and then decided to basically take the money and run, that's not an okay, like leave the program. That's not something. I mean, that's between them and IRS. Is that what I'm just, you know, throwing that out there.
Correct. And I think, and to your point, thanks for bringing that up, so because ultimately I think we have to be very clear in understanding who bears responsibility for the action taken and the decision is made. And with that being said, as you all know, there's that PPP loan part two that's out. And I've made it very clear to the field reps that we are to give no guidance as to the decision in which you all make in regards to you being able to, you know, apply for such or feel the need to apply for such during these times. And so with that being said, if you take on a benefit in which you don't believe A, you will use, B, you are qualified for but had received and then become, you know, responsible for paying back, then you do bear that responsibility. You know, a lot of these things start off as loans and can be forgiven as grants, right? So ultimately, shall you qualify for the need and have been observed that your need is legit, then those funds turn into grant monies and you know, you don't have a responsibility. What I don't want to see is any operator take on money because of the tough times and the unknowns and their back is against their wall and find that they did not properly use the funds they received and now it remains a loan. And if you're already facing hard times, you've now just faced even tougher times. So I think to be very clear, any decision you make, I always say and suggest that you seek out the proper guidance, maybe from your accountant or whomever you know, your financial advisor that you may have or you may need to ensure that you are doing things within the accordance of the guidelines and whatever you are applying for. So yes, I think we have to be very clear on that. You know, certainly we all believe that we're going to resume at some point, hopefully this year, hopefully, you know, at some point. I mean, so the unknown is certainly still on the table, fresh. You know, we haven't gotten any spark of possibility in any location outside of, you know, what we are to assume that, you know, seasonal locations will resume. You know, even from an agency standpoint, we just recently received guidance that we will be working from home till the end of March. So, you know, COVID is still very, very relevant in 2021, and we have to keep that in mind. So that's what I would agree with that.
Just to let you know, I got denied that grant anyway. This is Carmella.
Okay. Yeah, and to kind of piggyback off of that, Carmella, I did just recently also, I was notified that one of the operators received a deposit and then it was apparently removed, I don't know, day later or same day. So we were just notified of that. So there is some question and concern, obviously, regarding that, and we will get some clarification as to why that may have happened and see if that's an isolated situation or suddenly there's some issues with this. So I do warn anybody that may have received it on this call to certainly review their account and be sure that those monies that they initially saw deposited in their account remain in their account, because that's certainly troubling to hear. And we will hopefully identify what the issue is behind that and hope that it's just an isolated incident and not something that we need to be immediately concerned with other operators.
I'm checking right now.
I thought nobody could be denied. I was shocked that you were that it was even denied.
Well, people could be denied because they
didn't get any information.
They took over 18,000 applications, but they were only giving it out to about 10,000 people. So yes, you could have been denied.
Right.
Yeah, but they didn't make it seem like that when you applied. Just saying.
No, no. It's kind of, they had a number. They had a certain amount of number that they were giving. It wasn't infinite. It just wasn't.
I would just say, just with a generic, obviously, response to this, what we've witnessed just in the past, whether it's applying for unemployment, applying for extensions, and so forth, we've found a lot of hiccups in the process over the year. I could say that I think many of you would agree on in different capacities of getting any assistance that's available. And based off the information I received from other operators, there were some operators received a very generic denial, which basically outlined the possibilities, nothing specific. So I don't think anyone could really give a definitive answer unless they actually spoke with someone. But I think the general consensus of which I understand is it's a generic denial letter which basically sums up the possibilities of your denial. And to Shelley's point, I think the premise is that almost double the amount of allowable applications were submitted. So, you know, there could have been no other rhyme or reason other than just, you know, their lottery of picking and choosing, which I would believe was probably part of the decision making as to those that got approved. Because I can't say with certainty there are operators, because I was asked this, you know, were they just the big locations or were they just the smaller? I've heard from many operators who have received it, and it's across the board in our program, from, you know, snack stands to cafeteria operators. So there really isn't any weight of approval in which I've observed as to the decisions that could have potentially been made.
There's also another monies being handed out that you don't have to apply for by the, what's the acronym, Department of something, whatever that DEC something, whatever that acronym is, that they are handing out monies that you don't have to apply for. And I guess they did put up some sort of criteria that they're going by to determine how they're doing that. So maybe they're going to sift through whoever they deny first. I'm not sure. But there's money out there, about $10,000 to $30,000, monies that they will, and other grants. They'll make the determination of how the monies are going to get divvied up, but I'm not sure how. You don't have to apply. That was on a press conference about a month ago, so.
I don't want to rush this, but I do kind of want to move on. If anybody has any additional questions in regards to this, please ask now. If not, I'd say let's move into the next category, just in essence of the time that we have.
Yes, I'd move on, Tyrell.
All right. So the next topic is stimulus funding for the Randolph Shepherd program. I do ask that if Brian can speak on this subject. I know he's been receiving some information, and certainly I think what we've identified is, based off the information that I understand, we have received the Randolph Shepherd program stimulus signed off by the president, in which, in turn, I believe was a $20 million held harmless grant funds to stimulate the Randolph Shepherd program, in which Chairman Haley had asked that we add this to the agenda to discuss as to what current information we received in regards to the stimulus dollars and the appropriation of it. And with that being said, Brian, update if possible, please.
Absolutely. First, nationally, there has been some recognition for a couple of the committee members who had been committee members when this conversation began with Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro's office. So there was a great amount of appreciation that had been expressed for two of the committee members from Connecticut, the past chair and one of the committee members who had been instrumental in bringing forth their concerns to Congresswoman DeLauro's office, who then was able to bring these concerns forward elsewhere. So certainly I don't want to call out any individuals, but if there's individuals on this call that want to take the appropriate bow, then, you know, certainly this is something that people did a lot of hard work. And so,
Brian, I'd just like to jump in there because I was on a national call this past week with the chairman, chairpersons from around the country, and Nikki Yakos singled out Connecticut and two other states that were instrumental in getting that $20 million. And of note from Connecticut was past chairman Frank Roberts. His name was mentioned. So I don't know who the other operator was, but, you know, kudos to those guys for stepping up. Thank you.
So, as Tyrell did indicate, the president did sign into law the Coronavirus Relief Act, and within there, at least in the version I saw, it was Section 318. Now, I don't have the final version in front of me. I only have the version that was presented. So this language may be varied just a tiny bit. I am not certain, but this particular language says, the state licensing agency shall use these grant funds to make financial relief and restoration payments to offset losses of blind vendors that occurred during calendar year 2020, but only to the extent that such losses are not otherwise compensated. And then there's another sentence that the funds that aren't used for this purpose may be used for other purposes that are consistent with what is allowable use of the funds, and it cites the federal code, meaning that these are funds that are can only be used, whatever is left, for the Randolph Shepherd program, consistent to how other allowable funds are for the program are used by. So I did try to get some additional clarification, particularly on the phrase, to the extent that the losses are not otherwise compensated, because I was asking questions regarding, like, if somebody got a particular grant or a loan or, you know, our vacation payout, would these be basically subtracted from what monies could be then provided? And what I was told is that there will be a formal guidance forthcoming, probably from Rehabilitation Services Administration, on just how states are supposed to utilize these funds and how we're supposed to make calculations to determine what amounts of money from this allocation could go toward each of the vendors to offset their losses that were not otherwise compensated for. So I just wanted to make it clear that none of the guidance that I have seen or been on phone calls and received so far is indicating that everybody just gets a flat dollar figure of, you know, every operator gets a certain dollar figure, whatever. It seems to be based on an individualized review of what other compensation a person may have had. So if there's a lot of questions I have around that, because we're talking calendar year 2020, so
I mean, I'm sure you all have questions as well, like what that calculation methodology would be. Are they going to look at calendar year 2019 as your basis for determining, okay, in 2019 I made this amount, in 2020 I made this amount, so what's the difference? I know you probably have lots of questions, but unfortunately, I only have this available. But I wanted to get to all of you sooner rather than later to say that this is the sentence as I am seeing it, and I will have to await official guidance from Rehab Services Administration to tell us what we're supposed to consider in there, because we'd like to get this money obviously available to you as soon as possible. We have not yet received this funding, so I want you to be aware of that as well. We have not received any allocation that has been earmarked any way whatsoever so far.
Ryan, can I ask you a question?
Yes, by all means.
What about like us at the DMV that we were completely shut down? Does that fall into another category? Because it's not, it's like just loss of our job, loss of all our income, like permanently. Does that play into anything?
I would believe that this bill is particularly available in that scenario, meaning that you definitely had losses in 2020 because the location was not even available to you. And so that seems to me the clear language of this section is to help you offset those losses, but only to offset them to the extent that those losses were not otherwise compensated through some other funds that you may have received to offset those losses. But again, until we see what they mean by that and what we count and what we don't count, all I have is this plain language to offer up to all of you. But I'm pretty confident that the intent of this is that people whose businesses were impacted because of COVID in calendar year 2020, we would be able to provide something. It's just I don't know what that something is yet, and I'm sure you all were curious, and that's why I wanted this to be an agenda item. And Keith, you said you were on a national phone call. Did they have any additional information that I may not be aware of?
Yes, I was just about to jump in and give my insight from the operator's perspective. And speaking with Terry Smith, I asked him some direct questions on how that money can be spent. One of those, what the formula comes out to is $11,000 per operator. That doesn't mean each operator is going to get $11,000. It's only earmarked for people directly affected by COVID. Now, everyone in our program in Connecticut, pretty much is that even if you remain open, you still have losses because you don't have the foot traffic in the building, and you know you can prove that based on your business reports of your losses from 1 year to the next, say 2019 to 2020. The money is was intended for direct relief for the operator. If there was a way they could get the money right to the operator, they would have. We had to go through the SLA. So could we just, give $11,000 to each operator? Yes, the calculation might not come out that way, but yes, you can do a lump sum payment to the vendor. And it's between the SLA and us as a committee. It's called active participation. So we have to determine, how that money is distributed. And if we're gonna, come up with a criteria, like what the intent is not made is to make somebody whole. And what that means is, say somebody made $50,000, and this year they only made $39,000. Well, if you give them $11,000, they were made whole. They made their full $50,000. Whereas someone else that might have made $50,000 and made $5,000, they're in a bigger hole than the other person that made $39,000. So there's got to be some sort of criteria. The money is not going to be dispersed anytime soon. It's going to be under the new administration. And we may not see it till April or May, so don't expect any money coming in anytime soon. But there will be some guidance, as Brian indicated. The rules are going to be kind of loose in a way, because they really want this money to get to us. The other thing down the road is there may be some stimulus for inventory for businesses, so I would be hesitant to earmark that money towards food loss or something like that, because there may be something coming in the near future, and maybe not near future, maybe in the next month or two or three, who knows. But there might be some relief coming on inventory moving forward. So you know, we got to wait until, like Brian says, there's more information to come, but we have to keep this open dialogue because it's between the committee and the SLA, which is BSBY, to come up with the criteria to get this money to us. So obviously I would put it back on the table in March for our quarterly meeting. Hopefully we'll have some more information then, but it's my hope and other operators' hope that most of this money comes directly to the blind operator, and obviously we got to work with you guys to make that happen. And that's basically the insight that I have.
Keith, this is Shelley. This question is for you and possibly. I know that President-elect Joe Biden has also put forth another package that they, you know, has to go through Senate for approval. Do we know yet if the 20 million or billion, whatever that number was, is that it, or is there more on the table with this new proposal?
As far as what Randolph Shepard went for, it's the 20 million.
Correct.
If there's anything,
oh, no,
if there's anything moving forward, that's something separate.
Okay. I was just asking, do we know more in the new bill that he's proposing?
The bill from last year originally went, it was a $35 million request that ended up being 20.
Okay.
And it was a one-time payment to the Randolph Shepard program. If there's another bill forthcoming, that's something different than what we're talking about right here.
Okay, so this is it for what we are talking about this second. Okay, so that's it for right now.
All right. In the new bill, there is a proposal for businesses, as Keith just said, business loss inventory. It's looking specifically to target bars and restaurants who had to dump their inventory because they never reopened. So like places that were able to open in a week or two, they won't get it, but places like us that shut down for months at a time would be part of that. That's part of the new, I don't know how much it was, but it is part of the new proposal. But there's nothing on has been passed for yet, but there is a possibility that we would be able to get some of that money as well in the future. Like Keith said, just don't put all your money that you get now towards food, because you may get something specifically for that.
This is Shelley again. Are you done, Brady? I'm sorry.
I just have one more question, statement, comment. I was wondering, and since that money isn't going to be coming out anytime in the near future, has the committee considered, thought, talked to about taking another vacation payment? Because a lot of operators are hurting pretty badly right now. Have we thought about taking, offering everybody, seeing if everybody would be willing to take another vacation payment and get another $1,200 or whatever it may be this year payment ASAP?
That doesn't fall under this topic for $20 million, but that is I've been approached by operators to bring that up to the agency. Whether it's, you know, I don't know if we can fit it in today, but it's definitely going to be on the agenda for March.
This is Shelley again. I have another question. So, Brian, with this being said, we had spoke about this pretty much all last year. Is this the funding that we were alluding to way back when, or this is funding completely opposite of possibly help operators get going again? The $20 million amount, is this what we were initially alluding to back then, or is this something the other, what we were talking about, is now off the table since the bill is now passed?
This is what we were talking about, and it is now passed, it is law. And we're just waiting for the monies to be given to the state licensing agency, us, as an allocation, which will come from the U.S. Department of Education. Once we receive it, I would have to presume, and I'm certainly hopeful, that there will be some instructions on how the money can be utilized. Because, again, if that sentence is telling us that it's only to be used to offset things that were not otherwise offset, we need some guidance around that. So as you brought up the vacation payment, we need some guidance so we understand how it would be allowable, what we can put that money towards, because we know you're all hurting, and many of you are completely shut down. And those of you that are not shut down, you still, you know, incurred significant losses through the tremendous reduction in the building footprint of people in your building. So, like the chair, I mean, we are eager to get this money to the people that need it as rapidly as possible, following the terms and conditions that we are provided. And to the extent that there are things that are open to active participation, we will need the committees vote on how they want some decisions made. But for instance, if the guidance comes out and says you may not use it if, then we, you know, those are not things that would be subject to active participation if RSA specifically says the money cannot be used for whatever. You know, so what we would want to bring to the committee is what we have been given in guidance when it comes out, and then we need to have that committee meeting to say, okay, these are the things they say you cannot use it for, and this is the list of things we can use it for. So then, as the chairman has indicated, there would need to be some conversation, because unless they say that it's capped at 11,000, and I don't know that it says that, but unless they say that, then it may be that the committee has to make some other kinds of decisions around how to allocate the money.
This is Shelley again. Will there be, like you said, what you have in front of you, is that it? Can we also go out there and get, once it's actually done and finalized, from the entity you mentioned earlier? I can't think of it right this second. Can we go out there and actually get the footage ourselves?
Well, as soon as I get it, I will absolutely send it out to the committee. So
great.
You will get it as soon as I get it. I promise you that, because the committee has to have active participation. There will need to be some decisions made. I don't believe the guidance is going to be completely prescriptive. It will tell us certain things, but then you all have to convene and say, all right, within the things they're telling us that are still allowable for reimbursement or for payment or whatever, how do you want this to be done?
Is that just for committee use, or is it the whole program use?
Well, the committee, by federal regulation, the committee has the active participation, but the committee can certainly, within its rights, solicit feedback from the other members so that you're carrying forward their perspectives.
Okay.
But you are the elected members who will then carry forth any feedback and guidance you've gotten from operators to say, okay, well, we brought this up and you know, these are some perspectives we have received, but ultimately only the committee has got the vote in terms of telling us how you want it to be. I'm sure that makes sense.
Right, because we're in essence the elected officials, and the rest of the program is our constituents, for lack of a better term.
Correct. And
okay.
One thing is this, you know, I'm certain that the committee would want to at least make the membership aware of what the language is so that you can carry forward in your deliberations those perspectives.
Okay. Thank you.